ILC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the Isle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you as the New York Islanders are back in the mix. Now down 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference Final. Big game 4 coming up on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We will talk about that. Plus, special guest today, Nick Costa, of course, owner of the Offside Tavern. We all know the sad news that we've got couple weeks back that the tavern will be closing after this New York Islander playoff run. Sat down with Nick for a few minutes, just kind of talk about how it all went down. He wanted to give a message to all of the fans who had stopped in there over the years. So we'll talk to Nick in this episode as well. The sponsors, as always, Bright Building Services, Santorini Restaurant, the Main Street Board Game Cafe, Accurate Precast Corp. They take care of us. Please take care of them. Get your Isle Seat Podcast t-shirts at yesmenoutfitters.com. So let's talk about the game first. Friday night, Islanders get back. A 5-3 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Really, really big effort for them. Coming off of that heartbreaking, crushing, just brutal loss that they had to the Tampa Bay Lightning on Wednesday night, where they were the better team, had a billion chances, lose with 8 seconds left on the Kucherov goal. They play again their game on Friday. Now, there was some rough moments. there's no doubt about that. But especially when you have a 3-1 lead going into the third period and Tampa comes all the way back and ties that game at 3. But the Islanders show you the little heart, little push. And this is what we mentioned the other day. Now, we don't want to get into it. They were down 2-0 last year. You didn't know what would happen. They got down 3-0. Now you've seen they don't want to go home. They don't want to leave the bubble. They want to push here and they want to play. And they now have an opportunity on Sunday afternoon to even this thing up and make it a 3-game series, which the way that things have gone here the past few games is a very manageable thing for the New York Islanders. It is manageable. I know we said that the 4 out of 5 was going to be very tough, but this is going to be manageable. And the reason why you believe it is because of how they've played since that game 1 that you have to absolutely brush away. You saw Trotz do it in the postgame Friday too. Brushing away that game 1, which seems like lifetimes ago, the 8-2 game. But the Islanders have played Islander hockey now in games 2 and 3. Hey, a couple things go their way in game 2. Maybe they're up 2-1 in this series. Tampa's had some things not go their way as well. They have not had Braden Point now for the last game and a half. We'll see if he plays on Sunday. I know he was skating around a little bit on Saturday, but just because you skate around a little bit on practice does not mean that you're ready to go full speed in the game. So we'll see what happens with him. That's a key piece to their lineup. They'll get Killorn back too. But when you look at this Islander win and how it all came about, it was kind of bizarre because early on, it kind of felt like Wednesday. You know, you get the goal from Cal Clutterbuck, another great, listen, Martin finally with an assist. After all the goals he scored, he's done an unbelievable job. And you're playing really well, and once again, you give up a late goal in the first. You know, it was a little less than 4 minutes to go. So even though you felt like you had that big advantage, you're going into the first intermission again tied at 1, just like on Wednesday night. Kind of a little bit of deja vu. Here we go again. Is this happening? But they give you a strong second period. Get a goal from Adam Pellick, his first of the playoffs. Massive goal to give him a 2-1 lead. And for the first time in this series, they're able to add on and get another goal. And what a play by Brock Nelson. Brock had a game. He had an unbelievable game. A little Brock Timber forever here. Goes, spins around the net. Gets it in front to Beauvillier. He puts it in, his 9th of the playoffs. What a playoff for Anthony Beauvillier and for Brock Nelson. And you go into the third, up 3-1. The early power play, it kills you. Mistakes happen. And sure enough, Islanders get it to 3-2. And then the tying goal by Johnson is a goal that it's troubling because it has plagued the Islanders this entire playoff. The shot from the point, getting tipped. It's hard to get on Varley there. Johnson with a great tip. I thought it was close. I know they reviewed it. That was a good goal. and you've got a 3-3 game. But unlike other situations in the past where you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, this time the Islanders, they give you the big response. Big response. You know, you blow a 2-goal lead early in the third period. A lot of teams down, you know, down 2-0 in a series. Blowing a 2-goal lead early in the third of game three, where you're trying to get the 2-1, a lot of teams can fold up a shop. Islanders did not do that on Friday night. And that's what you love to see. And that's what makes you think that they do have a little opportunity here to maybe still have some juice in this series. Especially if they win on Sunday, get this thing to 2-2. They got juice. They get the Brock Nelson goal under 5 minutes to play. Tremendous goal again. Brock just a unbelievable playoff for Brock and Beauvillier. Josh Bailey with his 16th assist of the playoffs. Those three guys, and they needed that. Here's why they needed that. And Trotz mentioned this after the game too. Up until that point where you got the Beauvillier and the Brock Nelson goals in this game, the third and fourth goals for the Islanders, you know, their goals in this series, you know, Cal Clutterbuck in the first, Pelech, Matt Martin in game two, the guys that had really driven the bus, their top two lines, how good they've been, and early on, especially in the Cap series, I can't even spread out where how, you know, the Bailey, Beauvillier, and Nelson line has been good the entire playoff. But they show up on this night. Barzy, Lee, and Eberle were so good in the Philadelphia series. They still need their moment here in the Tampa series. They're still looking for their moment, and maybe game four it'll be. But the Islanders had not been getting it from those top six guys. And sure enough, late in the game on Friday night, they do get it. They get the third goal from Bo. They get the fourth goal from Brock. And they finish it off with a J.G. Pageau empty netter where, geez. And then the brouhaha started after that. And that kind of stuff bubbles over. There was a lot of bad blood off of Wednesday's game because of the things that were happening to Brock. There was some bad blood. But you couldn't really get involved with the bad blood because you got a 1-1 game throughout the entire third period. Nobody wants to take a stupid penalty trying to settle scores. So that's why you really didn't see anybody go after anyone or anything cheap happen. But when you get an empty net goal and you've got a guy taking a whack like Kucherov did, what a cheap shot by Kucherov. I mean, honestly. You know, Pageau, I get it. He's trying to stop Pageau. He's trying to, not get the empty netter. He went a little too far. When the puck was gone, it was going in the net, and he took some really good whacks at Pageau, and Pageau went right at him. That started the brawl. We want to call it a brawl. It wasn't really a brawl. We've seen brawls. That wasn't a brawl, but a disagreement. Let's put it that way. And then you got Matt Martin to pretty much take Gaudreau's head off after. So he got a little payback for what Gaudreau did to Brock in game two. So there's some legitimate bad feelings now between these two teams. And sometimes it does take a couple of games in a playoff series to really get that bite. And you've got it right now between the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Sunday afternoon is going to be very, very interesting because the Islanders have been the better team now for two games. Let's be fair. Islanders have been a better team for two games. They could, and you hate saying this after the fact, they could be up 2-1 in this series if they could just find a way to score a power play goal on Wednesday night. They could be up 2-1 in this series. It just is what it is. But Tampa's going to come back, possibly with point. We'll see. They'll definitely get Killorn back. And Islanders with a chance. They got to Vasilevskiy a little bit, which was good to see. In a couple of different ways. Trotz mentioned getting more to the inside, shooting the puck a little bit more. Islanders continue to do that. They're going to be in good shape on Sunday afternoon. And I do feel that they're going to win on Sunday. I think they are going to get this series to 2-2. I have to still stick with kind of what I said on Wednesday after that game. It's still going to be very hard to beat this team 4 out of 5 games. Very, very tough task. But that task will become a lot easier and get this win on Sunday and taking that one game at a time mentality. You win on Sunday, then you can start to look at it as we've got a best of three here. Fascinating game. I do think the Islanders win it on Sunday because they've been the better team over the last two. But Tampa, they're a really good team, as we have discussed at nauseam here over the last week. And they're going to come back with a big push as well. But it's good to see guys have the kind of games that they had on Friday, especially Brock Nelson and Anthony Beauvillier. So like I said, this is kind of a special episode. I know I got to jump in there and give a little recap of Friday and get you ready for Sunday. But the real reason why we are here today on the Aisle Seat Podcast is we're going to talk to Nick Costa, Offside Tavern, because I've said it. Anybody that you know that has been in that place knows how special the Offside is. And unfortunately, it's going to be closing its doors after this Islander run. So got to chat with Nick for a few minutes. We are going to listen to that. When we come back, we'll take a break first. Come back, Nick Costa, Offside Tavern. The Aisle Seat Podcast rolls on right after this.
The Aisle Seat Podcast is brought to you by Bright Building Services. Bright Building Services is a full-service commercial cleaning company serving businesses throughout the New York metro area for over 22 years. With clients spanning all sectors from boutique fitness and corporate headquarters to laboratories and medical facilities. Contact them for all of your commercial cleaning needs. For more information, please visit brightbuildingservicesny.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at Bright Building Services. That's Bright, spelled B-R-I-T-E. Santorini Restaurant. Santorini is family-owned and operated for over 20 years and offers a variety of the best gyros, salads, and signature Greek dishes sure to please. Located at 133 Merrick Avenue in Merrick, New York, Santorini Restaurant, it's all about family. The Main Street Board Game Cafe in Huntington Village on Long Island's North Shore. Unplug your game. They have a huge selection of hobby and family strategy board games for sale, from old favorites to the newest releases. A library of over 400 board games for open play every day. A board game and RPG after school program for grades 1 through 12. They do Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Warhammer, and Dungeons and Dragons events and tournaments, birthday parties and corporate events. Come in for food and drink, coffee and desserts, beer and wine, and of course, fun and friends. The Main Street Board Game Cafe at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village. Go to MainStreetBoardGameCafe.com for more information. Main Street Board Game Cafe, unplug your game. Accurate Precast Corporation is a family-run business, and they've been getting it done for over 20 years. Accurate designs and manufactures custom concrete building materials for commercial and residential applications throughout the entire tri-state area. Architectural cast stone, bands, cornice, lintels, entry and window details, ornamentals, sills, trim, custom designs. They do it all at Accurate. Accurate's production facility is located at 1957 Pitkin Avenue in Brooklyn. Stop by or call them today at 718-345-2910. Check out all their work right now and follow them at Accurate Precast Corp on Instagram.
And we're back. Aisle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you. Islanders now down 2-1 in the series to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They will play a game 4 Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock. And one of those places that you can watch that game for the time being as this run continues to go is, of course, the world famous. It's been home to many of us. And that is the Offside Tavern on 14th Street. And I welcome aboard right now, owner, proprietor, great man, the immortal Nick Costa. Nick, how are you? Listen, tough to say how are you. I know that this has been for you and your family. First of all, congratulations, because family-wise, great. Another member of the clan. Is everything going good with the family at home?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We welcomed, on July 29th, we welcomed our third child, our first boy, Lincoln Lewis Costa, first pick of the 138 New York Islanders. No, he's great. Mom's great. The girls are great. I mean, as we're all chilling.
And like I said, this has been so hard because for the last 5-6 months, it's been brutal everywhere, especially in New York City, for owning any type of business. But the bar/restaurant business has really taken the hit. And a lot of people were worried about you because you're the place, Nick. You know this. This is the place where Islander fans would go. And I'm 40 years old. And I've been an Islander fan my whole life. And throughout the years, there's always been places where you could meet up and people could go, But what's gone on the last 3 years at your establishment, I had not seen it with the fan base before. And maybe I was just missing out, but and maybe it's just because it's a social media age and things kind of snowballed a little bit quicker now. But your bar, Nick, became the place for Islander fans to go when they weren't going to the game, when it was a road game. The ultimate establishment for the New York Islander fan. And I'm crushed, bro. I mean, I know you are as well. I know you've heard from many of the fans. This absolutely sucks. We knew that there was a chance it could happen. Me and you had talked a couple times over the past few months.
Yeah.
But just kind of at first, Nick, just kind of give everybody kind of the layout of how the last few months have gone, that, you know, things that, you know, you tried to do, and just unfortunately it just got to that point where I hate to do this, but I've got to pull the plug for now.
Right. I mean, it was pretty much, so we were shut down indefinitely in March due to the pandemic. I don't know if you heard about it. It's this thing called COVID-19.
Yes.
I get it. I understand. Like, it's super dangerous. It's affected me personally. Not that I had it, but I know people. And it was rough. They made a tough call. And we just kind of had to, in the bar and restaurant industry, we just kind of have to play the hand that we're dealt. Some time went on, things went better in the city. Months and months went by, and they announced that they were going to be allowing outdoor dining. So we applied for the federal loan. We got it. It wasn't really all that much, but hey, it's better than nothing. And when with that loan money, it allowed us to try the outdoor seating. And timing wise, you know, I wanted it to line up with the Isles playoffs. Cause if, you know, we're going to give this a shot, let's give ourselves the best shot possible.
Yeah. With some Islander games in the mix.
Right. Yeah. Throw some games in there. Just, you know, give it a shot, the outdoor seating. And we did, and we have, and the response from Islander fans has been incredible as always. Best fan base in the league, I'll say it, in the world. I'll say that until the day that I die. The fact of the matter is it's rough. It's not enough. It's not sustainable. As it is, we have a fraction of the amount of people that we were allowed to have before. Some people don't like eating outside. Some people are right. Still scared to go outside. And look, if every single night of the month was an Islander game,
yeah, I know,
it's off. But you know, our meat and potatoes as a business on non-Islander nights was the after work crowd. You know, 5:30 to 9:30, they'd come in, they'd play Mario Kart, they would do whatever it is, whatever funky thing we had going on that night. They would come and sing their karaoke and do their trivia and have a good time. In New York City right now, most people are working from home still. And there's just it's not the same as it once was. And I mean, eventually it'll rebound, but the fact of the matter is we're running this business right now, and it's just a dodgy situation.
Yes, it is a dodgy situation, because like you say, even if you had an Islander game every night, and just picture this, guys. I mean, honestly, if you've been to the Offside Tavern, or you've even seen the pictures or the MSG commercials or anything like that, you know what that place looks like for an Islander game, let alone an Islander playoff game. Many of you were there for the Penguins last year during those first couple of games, and it was just, I mean, Nick was literally turning people away at the door. He was giving out wristbands to make sure you got in. Like, there was nowhere to go. And now, unfortunately, you're down to just the sidewalk. Even if, and they just, let me just ask you this. They just passed this at the end of the month. They're going to allow 25% to go inside, indoor dining. Even that, Nick, I would have to think, wouldn't, you know, on a non-Islander night or even on an Islander night, wouldn't be able to cut the mustard, right or wrong?
Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, it's great and it's trending in the right direction, but it doesn't move the needle enough. Right. Again, so much of this has to do with people's hesitation to go out, which, again, I completely get it. I understand. We don't know what the hell's going on with this thing. The last thing you want to do is be, you know, jammed ass to elbows in a bar.
Right.
You know, so I get it. But we have to play the hand that we're dealt. That's all. And the 25%, it's, you know, it's nice, but we, you know, we also have to bring on, we have to temperature check people as they come in the door. That's on us.
Yep.
We have that. We have to take down contact information for people coming in one per group. That's on us. That's, you know, that's payroll. I have to bring somebody on just to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we have to upgrade ventilation and upgrade all these things. You know, they cost money, and we Offside Tavern is a mom and pop establishment. It's I'm the pop and my wife's the mom, and you know, we put everything we had into this. We borrowed money from family to make this place happen, to make it fly. And we don't have anything extra to give.
Now, I know that a lot of people, when this first happened in March, and even when you made the announcement a week ago, there's a lot of great people that tried, did get the GoFundMes going, and that a lot of people did donate, to you and what you basically did was, and I remember this when you guys first had to close in March, you said, this is, you know, help my staff, help them, because they're the ones who are going to be out of work. So just tell me about how the GoFundMe situations kind of work, not just at the beginning, but I know that people did try when you made the announcement, but unfortunately, like, I know that you've told, the numbers are just, they're just too astronomical.
Yeah. I mean, when we first got shut down in March, we set up our Venmo, and just, you know, because my staff, if my wife and I are mom and pop, those are our kids, you know, they are my some of my best friends in the world. I love watching them become the people that they are and the Isles fans that they now are. None of them knew a single Islander before this whole thing started. And so I just wanted to do just that little thing, like just to try to take care of them. And then when I made the announcement a few weeks back, I had a lot of people just like my inbox just blowing up with do a GoFundMe, do a Kickstarter, do a GoFundMe. And their heart was totally in the right place. And I was floored by the reaction. I'm sitting over my phone, just tears falling onto it from people reminiscing of the good times and trying to help and doing everything that they could to try to help us out. And some people just started them. They just started GoFundMes. They just said, screw it, I'm going to try to help these people out. And I just, you know, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing to see. But at the end of the day, the money that would need to be raised in order to quote unquote save Offside Tavern, it would be too much for any kind of a crowdfunding to take place. And also, even if miraculously the amount was raised that, you know, we could pay off the debts that we've accrued since being closed, because the bills kept coming.
Yeah.
Even if that did happen, we're still living in this this world, this pandemic world, with all of these restrictions on bars and restaurants. And the last thing I would want is for hardworking Isles fans or just supporters of the bar to donate their hard-earned money, and then for us to be able to pay off all of our debts, and then to turn around and have to close in a few months because, again, 25%.
They're going to build back up. The debts were going to build back up even if you got through that first one.
It's just going to be, oh, here we go again. And then all these people are out all this money and looking at us like, what the hell? I thought we saved you.
Right. And now, in the past couple of weeks or months, has there been any attempts, maybe from the outside, anybody try to... And I'm just not talking, you know, beyond the fan base,
yes,
bigger people. Has anybody tried to step in and see what they can do to you to help you out?
Absolutely. The New York Islanders as an organization has been tremendous. The amount of guidance that they've given me, the ideas that they've had have been just like, I'm like everybody else listening. I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan for me to, you know, be fielding calls from executives and them telling me, oh, yeah, we're throwing your name around the room and in meetings and stuff. It's bizarre. It's bizarro. I'm just a small business owner. And that's the thing, too. Like, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, the Islanders should save your bar. They should save you. That's not on them. You know, there are a lot of small businesses that have been absolutely decimated by this. And a lot of them, you know, some of them even were sponsors of the team that now are no longer in existence. You know, they stepped up to the plate more than you can imagine. And the talks are ongoing, you know. Offside as it is right now, I wouldn't have tweeted out that we were closing if we weren't closing. Right. You know, this is the thing that has to happen next. But offside on the whole, could something happen in the future? What that thing could be, I don't. It could be anything.
Right. So listen, when this thing ends and we have the parade, which is going to have to go by your place at some point.
Right. To start at us and end at Blue Line. That is
go all the way out to the island. So, in a perfect world, here, if this thing goes on for another 3 weeks, and you have not just the next week, you know, possibly three or four, hopefully, you know, three or four more games with Tampa, at least three going the right way, and then a couple weeks of potentially a Stanley Cup final. When that does end, whenever it is, the doors are being closed. I mean, this is it. But just because the doors are being closed that day, that physical space on 14th Avenue will close for good. But what I think you're saying to me and everybody else here is that even when that closes, you're saying that there is definitely still an opportunity down the line, wherever it may be, that we could see the Offside Tavern reborn again.
Sure. And I'm open to any and all. I mean, this was my baby. You know, I worked 20 years in bars and restaurants before branching out and doing this. And I had a pretty cushy gig before Offside. I could have been just fine. But I chose to do this. I chose to kind of put it out there. And I loved every minute of it. It was hard. So... if there's a chance for some sort of a phoenix from the ashes Offside, whatever it may be, another spot in the city, another spot on Long Island.
Belmont Park.
I am open to everything, but, you know, I also have to be realistic about it. Like I said, I put my entire life savings into this place. And it's, right now it's gone, you know, it's, and I have to figure out what's the best thing for my family and I, and, you know, if my DMs are open, if anybody has any ideas, if, you know, but I'm up for anything.
Well, but, Nick, look, man, I'm going to tell you, and I don't like speaking for people, but I'm going to try to speak for, you know, as many people as I can right now talking to you. Your bar brought a lot of people together in terms of the Islander fan base, members of this fan base that never would have met each other if they didn't have the meeting spot that you provided for the Islander fan. And look, I know it's in Manhattan. I get it. There's never been anything like it in Manhattan. And as I mentioned to you kind of at the top, I personally, I don't think there's been a place like this anywhere. And that includes on Long Island. And we're a place where you know this is the Islander bar. This is it. This is where you go. You brought a lot of this fan base together. And I know a lot of people thank you for that. And what you and your staff, who are all awesome people, by the way. I love everybody in that place. Vince, the whole deal, all the way down. When you went in there, didn't matter if it was a game night or not. You knew that you were going to have a good time, and you knew that there was great people working there. I love your store, bro. I really do. And on a personal level, I want to thank you because all the times when me and BComp first started this, the new venture coming over and doing this, we had an enormous live show at your your place, and you were still, you know, relatively new at the time. I think it was in your first year of being open that me and BComp did that show with the huge crowd, and then I unfortunately lost BComp, and you've still had me back for two or three of these things. Let me film an MSG commercial there along with your own. I mean, we had some unbelievable times in your establishment. And I'm glad that I love that I met you. I love that I met your staff. And I can't wait. They might be closing the door that day. But I know it's something. There's going to be more down the line, brother. I feel it. I know it. And I know that you're going to get through this. And I know it's going to be there. But the fans are what matters. And the Islander fan, your place means something to all of them that went in there. It does. And if you have any words to say to them, all the people that have come through your doors who just absolutely love that place, bro.
It was and is my pleasure. I am a psychotic fan just like the rest of you guys. I felt like that place was special too. Sometimes I was, you know, a little too close to it, you know, in there every day, just trying to build the place to a place where it could flourish. And it was there. We were there. We were really close before this all happened. I'm not, somebody wrote the other day, somebody just tweeted at us just saying, you know, I just walked by Offside Tavern and now I'm sad. You know, we weren't even open at the time. I just wrote back, you know, I think it's Dr. Seuss, you know, don't frown because it's over, smile because it happened. And that's kind of the only thing I can say.
Bro, there's going to be a lot of people smiling when they think about your place, man. It's good. Just, that's how great, that place is. And let me tell you, they were there for you, when you were open, and they're going to be there for you when it comes back. I'm telling you that right now. They will be there for you, my man. They absolutely will. And listen, this ain't done right now. We've got a couple more weeks of Islander hockey at the Offside Tavern.
You're damn right
we do. We've got a couple more weeks, brother. I'm telling you. I'm ready to watch you have a huge Sunday afternoon coming up here today with a Game 4. You're going to have it stacked out on the sidewalk. And if they keep making this thing happen, maybe you will get one or two nights on the inside with the 25%, right?
Maybe. Checking temperatures and taking phone numbers. Well, just a quick pro tip to anybody who is coming tomorrow for the Sunday game. Wear sunglasses.
Okay.
Wear
little pro tip for the screens. Be able to see the screens a little better out there.
Devin from Yes Men was nice enough to lend us his tent, which provides some shade for our TVs that are in the window. But with sunglasses, you'll be able to see. Without, it's up to the sun. It's however harsh the sun decides to be tomorrow.
Bro, I'm hoping that at some point I can get one last gasp down there. So I'm going to work on it as well. I love that place, and I can't wait for the next one because I know that it is going to happen down the road. And Islanders in what, 6 or 7? What do you have here? They're going to win 4 in a row? They're going to just win 4 in a row right here, right?
From here, we're not letting in another goal.
Isles at 6.
Yeah.
As we get ready for...
They're going to give up after the 5th game.
As we get ready for, just like everybody drew it up, the Isles and the Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup.
What a world,
brother.
It's 2020. Anything can happen.
Nick, I love you. I speak for all the fans. They love you too. They love your store. We're going to miss it. And I can't wait for the next one, my man. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And thank you to every single person listening and all of the Islander fans on the planet.
And my thanks right there to Nick Costa. And you can hear it, folks. This is... this place is special. Nick's a special dude. And the people that went into that place, it meant something to them. You know, a lot of friends made in there. You're going to miss it. But he did give you he gave you the silver lining there. Just because this door is closing doesn't mean that another one may open down the road. So that particular building might be gone. But hopefully down the road, whether it's in Belmont or the little village outside of Belmont, the retail village, or somewhere else in Manhattan, whatever it's going to be, the hope here for me, and I know for many of you, is that the offside will rise again. And I can't thank Nick enough for sitting down for a couple minutes with me and talking about it, as he's got a lot going on, trying to deal with that situation, and he's got a newborn, all that. So my thanks to Nick Costa right there. All the love to him and his staff at the Offside Tavern. They are the best. So, guys, get yourself ready. Game 4, Sunday afternoon. You're probably either listening to this Sunday morning, late Saturday night. As we get ready for it, it's going to be a good one. And, by the way, congratulations to Lou Lamoriello, deservedly GM of the Year. How about that? So, in back-to-back years, you've had the New York Islanders get the Coach of the Year in Barry Trotz. This year, the General Manager of the Year. Amazing, right? Amazing. When you have adults run the room, right? When you have adults running the team, it's amazing what can happen. But to be fair here, Lou does deserve that honor. And it might not even be just, and I think I'm pretty sure a lot of people voted for him. Probably, you're not supposed to do this. It's supposed to be just the one calendar year. But I think that people do have to put into consideration the change in culture that Lou has brought to this team, along with Barry Trotz, and I'm sure a little bit of that. Not that Lou's moves in the past 12 months didn't justify it. Let's be fair. There's moves that Lou made that are absolutely justified, not just at the trade deadline with J.G. Pageau and with Andy Green, but he made some moves in the offseason last year too. And there are things that Lou has done that it's culture and it's the roster. And he deservedly got that award on Saturday. Good for Lou. Islanders with some hardware here the last couple of years. You're not used to seeing that. So enjoy the game on Sunday. I think the Islanders even this thing up 2-2. They've been the better team. But we do have to look out. We'll see what happens with Cizikas. Of course, we know how important he is to what the New York Islanders do. So keep an eye on that injury. I thought that Dal Cole played pretty good. I'd probably keep Dal Cole in the lineup, to be quite honest with you. Those guys did do a good job, and Pageau playing with taking the Cizikas spot, you want to say, and having Martin and Clutterbuck out there with them. Well, I mean, they produced a goal, that first period goal. They got that thing going, and that was a nice little mix there for Barry. But I liked going to Dal Cole too. So we'll see if Zeker's ready to get back in there. They do need him. I know they got by without him on Friday. He's a very big part of what they do, especially defensively and on the penalty kill. And that would be a big loss if it's long-term. Of course, we never know because, God forbid, anybody says anything about any kind of injury or how long a guy's going to be out in the NHL. Not allowed to do that. Unfit to play, of course, is what they say. So Islanders will look for that on the injury front before that game four. Maybe same lineup. You know, that was a winner on Friday night. If Seeker can't go, I'm probably a same lineup guy. And you know Varley will be in there because he's been strong these last two games after that game one, which we throw away in the pack. So enjoy game four. I'll talk to you guys. We'll try to get a little something in after that, or at least before the game five, which will now definitely be coming up on Tuesday night. My thanks again to Nick Costa. Tremendous job. I thank him for coming on and sharing his feelings about his bar, his establishment, and you guys, the Islander fans. So thanks again to Nick. Thanks again to the sponsors, as always, Bright Building Services, Santorini Restaurant, Main Street Board Game Cafe, Accurate Precast Corporation. They take care of us. Please take care of them. Get your Isle Seat Podcast t-shirts, yesmenoutfitters.com. Isles look to go, even the series, 2-2 on Sunday. Mike Carver, Isle Seat Podcast. I'll talk to you next time.